You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. It is officially summer, and lots of us are planning road trips. There are loads of quirky attractions and retro signs along the way that could make your drive more fun. Joining me now to discuss some standout sights for your next road trip are journalist and author of The Great American Road Trip, A Celebration of Roadside Americana, Rolanda Pujol. Thank you so much for being here, Rolanda.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on. A pleasure.
Great to have you. And American Sign Museum founder and curator Todd Swarmstedt. Thanks for being here, Todd.
Thank you for the opportunity. Glad to be here.
Rolando, in your book you write, "I've been on the Great American Retro Road Trip my whole life, even when I didn't quite realize it." Explain what you meant by that.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And that's exactly right. I've been sort of appreciated what we now know as Roadside Americana. I didn't know what Roadside Americana was when I was 4 years old, but I certainly knew what I saw when I was looking out the window of my parents' station wagon as we drove around the country on road trips down south to Miami or elsewhere. And I knew I was absolutely, riveted by it. So as early as 4 or 5 years old, these places began to make a real impact on me and my psyche. But it really wasn't until I was in my 20s when I began to take road trips on my own and plan them that I began to focus on Roadside Americana with much more of a laser focus, get curious about this, start doing research. And eventually when, write about it for newspapers, as I'm worked in newspapers for many years, and now, of course, work in television where I've done reports on it, and eventually hung out my own shingle, so to speak, on social media through The Retrologist on Instagram, Substack, and other places. So I've loved this stuff my entire life, and the fact that I've had the opportunity to write a book about it is really quite special.
Well, and Rolanda, you're the child of Cuban immigrants. Are there places that especially made you feel like you were part of America as a little kid?
Yeah, that's absolutely. I think one of the reasons I was drawn to this is that, any child of immigrants growing up in the United States, struggles to some extent, I think, with feeling that they're part of America, that they're one of that they too are fellow Americans, and that for me was a bit of a process growing up. And I think these places, especially the national chains, the McDonald's, the Burger Kings, and the Woolworths, and the Howard Johnsons, where I had many a birthday party, in a way, almost represented a kind of welcome mat. We were all accepted. We felt at home there. And it was a way for recent immigrants to tie and connect themselves to these big American institutions. And in a way, get to feel like an American, if you will. So to me, that is absolutely one of the reasons why I love these places, especially chains, because they were and are so welcoming and do sort of bring people into, no matter who you are, into the firmament of America.
Todd, signs are such an important part of these roadside attractions and diners and shops that Rolando so beautifully documents in his book. Why was it important to you to preserve signs like that at the American Sign Museum? And what are some of the techniques involved with making those signs that are no longer so widely used?
The reason for having the American Sign Museum is obviously around Roadside Americana. When you think of Roadside Americana, you think of the diners, the theaters, but signs are always a part of it. In fact, the signs are probably the first object that you recognize as you're traveling the highways of America. I can tell you the interest in Roadside Americana has really blossomed in the last 40 years. Once the interstates happened and people weren't on the blue highways, what we call the blue highways, that interest in Roadside Americana, and as I said, always the signs started happening. The repair and the restoration of these is something that we're involved in. We can't save all the signs, but certainly you have to have some of those American icons that he was talking about, the McDonald's sign, the Howard Johnson's, the Arby signs, and all of those.
We're talking about the quirky attractions and roadside signs we can see during summer road trips. Do you have questions or tips for your favorite signs or stops? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Rolando, your book is divided into regions. Each chapter has several categories. Walk us through some of those categories and some of your favorite examples in Ohio and Southwest Ohio.
Absolutely. So we broke the book up by geography, coast to coast. And so you guys are, you know, firmly in the Midwest, in the heartland of the country. And the categories include things like roadside eats, roadside quirks, theaters, sweet shops, places to get ice cream, and bakery stores, restaurants, all kinds of different places, motels, places to stay. And there are so many that I absolutely adore in the Cincinnati region, over in Kentucky and over in Indiana as well, in that general vicinity. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't start right with Todd's Museum, the American Sign Museum. It's absolutely epic. And, you know, his and his team's restoration of the great sign for Holiday Inn is nothing short of miraculous. I mean, I'll admit it, I got teary-eyed when I first saw the thing restored and lit up at night when I visited last a couple of years ago. This was one of the signs that was sort of like a source of inspiration for me as a kid. There was one near me when I grew up in the Sleepy Hollow, New York area. So absolutely, start right there. That's a great place to sort of get a feel for signage and the different kinds of things that you will find on the road, not only in the Ohio area, but around the country that you used to find on the road for sure. But there are so many delightful things in the region, of course, that, you know, some of the pop culturally, of course, you've got to go to Union Terminal, right? I mean, for the connection to Super Friends, right? The the cartoon, you know, you have to mention that. Quirky things like the Lucky Cat Museum, which I'm a big fan of, then classic, you know, places that are known for their neon signs and their old school vibe, like Scotty's Italian, the Sugar and Spice, which has been so beautifully restored, you know, over the Rhine. I stayed there at an Airbnb a couple of years ago and really admired the sign for Tower Furniture, which is long gone. But American Sign Museum, of course, worked on that sign, the 20th Century Theater. I just absolutely have to mention some of the sweet spots, the ice cream places in the area. You guys have some great examples of Dairy Queen out in St. Bernard, which is more the Red Barn period of Dairy Queen from the 60s and 70s. And then up in Woodlawn, there's a great old DQ with a beautiful horizontal sign with the ice cream cone. Just an absolute beauty. Further north, Sweet and Cream, Gold Top Dairy. In Aurora, Indiana, Flavors Ice Cream, so many great places. The Zip Dip since 1950. Big fan of that. And if you want to get away a little bit further away from the core of the Cincinnati area, even though the drive-in is gone, I think you have to sort of go down to Lexington and admire the Parkette drive-in sign, which has been preserved, you know, on site. And it would have been a massive ask for Todd to bring that up to the museum in Cincinnati, but it is a beautiful site and a place that I've gone a couple of times, which I'm really fond of. Also in Kentucky is the Rabbit Hash General Store, which is just a really, really cute place. The sign over the door features the old school Coke Sprite Boy character. It just has a lot of character. You even see a picture of the sign at the airport when you arrive, so it introduces you to the area. And that place has been through a lot. It has survived floods, it has survived fires, and it is still there. And it's a great reminder of that sort of stick-to-itiveness and grit and determination that keeps these places alive. These are people who, against a lot of odds and with not a lot of resources, you know, maintain these shops. And we're so grateful to them. And that's part of the beauty of visiting these places, that you're supporting a small business. You're supporting somebody's vision of the American dream that they're sharing generously with all of us.
Rolando, one of the Midwest signs that really jumped out at me in your book was the Superdog Drive-In sign in Chicago. Can you kind of paint a picture of that for us and describe it a little bit?
Oh, yeah, that is a beautiful sign. There's these two, adorable hot dog characters that are right on the roof. Their eyes light up. They're kind of creepy cute. you see them and they're but they certainly make an impression. And the hot dogs, Chicago style, are absolutely amazing. There's a little drive-in area as well out in the back. And of course, Chicago is known for its hot dog places. There are quite a number of them, including Wolfie's with this giant sign out front. So Henry's, which also has a great old neon sign. Frank's, the list goes on. I tell you, if you want to enjoy, great, great comfort food, it is hard to beat the eats that you'll find in the Midwest chapter.
Todd, how do you decide which signs become part of the museum? There are so many amazing signs out there. It's got to be tough to pick and choose. Are you still with us, Todd? Okay. I don't know. Maybe we lost Todd for a second there. Rolando, reading about these roadside attractions and seeing these signs in your book, it reminded me kind of the Goofy movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I watched it with my daughter years ago, and Goofy wants to visit like the world's largest ball of string or something. What do these roadside attractions and nostalgic mom and pop shops add to a road trip, or even add to how we think about the United States?
Right. There's something, in my opinion, so distinctly American about these places. They're brash. They're big. They aim to make a splash. Right. They show American ingenuity and character and cleverness. And I think that's part of what draws us to them, that they're so audacious. You almost have to sort of witness them for yourselves. You have to go up to that big ball of string or the giant popcorn ball or these form follows function buildings that were constructed mainly back in the 20s and 30s, but there have been some since, of course, around the country, including the Big Duck out on Long Island, which was on a duck farm once, and now it's a nice little souvenir shop where you can buy duck paraphernalia in the belly of the duck, the Haynes Shoe House. It's so cute.
The Longaberger Basket.
Absolutely, the big basket out in Newark, Ohio, which, when I visited it, it makes such an impressive sight, and it is also so heartbreaking because it's closed and it's just sitting there. You can begin to see the ravages of time and abandonment. Sort of display themselves on the building, but it is really a powerful reminder of what was once a very, very important American company and the vision of the founder, and how it led to this company that at one point was so big and was in part of so many people's lives, and it's sort of a monument to his singular vision that made such an impact on America about 30 years ago. So there are some real delights like that that you will find, all throughout the book.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line. Hey, Christian, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
First of all, I think that the American Sign Museum is such an exceptional local institution that I think is irreplaceable. I have been curious about these iconic signs that are like landmark signs, on whether local sign regulations are actually a primary deterrent from continuing to see these dot the landscape, whether it's new signs or even ongoing maintenance. I realize that sometimes that's a closed business, but we don't see a lot of iconic signs being constructed. And I just wanted to see your thoughts on why.
Interesting. Well, thanks so much, Christian. We appreciate that. Todd, what do you think?
Right. There are prohibitive sign codes. It really began the same time as the Highway Beautification Act in 65 when they started to limit what you guys call billboards. The on-premise sign was right behind that. They wanted to clean up the blight. What they didn't understand is that those blight, i.e. the signs, is what made the businesses work downtown. So one of the things about keeping alive the old signs is that's hurt the restoration of these signs is the signs are grandfathered in, and a city, state, whatever can't make you remove that sign as long as it's in the same location. However, as soon as you move that sign, let's say you need to take the sign back to a sign shop to restore it, now it's subject to current sign code and in most cases would not be allowed. I can tell you that kind of attitude or policy is slowly softening. And actually it began in California where they started to allow a sign company to take down a sign, take it back to their shop, restore it, and then reinstall it. It's much harder to restore a sign, you know, on its original premise in the outdoor environment than it is to take it back. So that's one improvement that's happening. But as far as you're talking about those iconic signs that we, you know, the McDonald's, the Arby's, the Howard Johnson's, most cases, the sizes of those signs prohibit their manufacture and installation today.
Mm. Christian, thanks for that terrific question. We appreciate it. Rolando, you were talking about some great stuff to see in Cincinnati, some great signs to check out. What about a few attractions within a few hours drive of Cincinnati? Are there a couple that you'd say everybody just has to see?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, you know, right in Cincinnati, I'm a big fan of the William Howard Taft, National Park Service Museum right there. It is exceptional. I went to visit a couple of years ago, and I was a big fan of it. And really, more of the sort of things that I would recommend. It's less of an attraction, I guess, but it's a bit of a hike. If you want to head up north toward Dayton, there are some very interesting sites up that way. And in Beaver Creek, Ohio, at the mall there, there is, and this is, I wouldn't call this necessarily a roadside attraction, but it is an interesting piece of retail history. It is one of two remaining, you may laugh at me, Suncoast Motion Picture Company stores, which deployed neon to terrific effect, and the stores were really, really moody. They're very 80s, 90s experience, and this store has survived in that mall. Yeah, I posted it on Instagram a couple of weeks ago, and the post went viral. So of all the things recently that my readers have cared about, it's been that Suncoast store. So if you want to do something fun and maybe take a trip back to the 1990s, head up north toward the Dayton area and check that out.
Yeah, play that Nirvana on the radio and just keep going, huh?
Pretty much. You got it. Yeah.
So, Todd, we're running a little bit short on time, but do you ever plan your road trips based on the cool signs along the way?
Well, I have, but more likely I plan a trip around existing sign companies that have been around for a long time and hope to have what I call a boneyard. That's that lot behind the sign shop where they've stacked up old signs they've taken down.
So you can do some shopping for the museum. That makes sense. Well, this has been wonderful. Any final words, Rolando? Tell us how to find your social media site.
Absolutely. I mean, oh, by the way, I think you guys are still out of the CET building, right? In Cincinnati there?
Nope. Nope. We've moved.
Oh, you're
brand
not?
New building. Yep.
Oh, no way. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was going to say that the singing mural with the PBS icons, I love that thing. And when I was preparing for this, I wish I'd included it in the book, but you can find me by my name, Rolando Pujol on Instagram, just Substack, The Retrologist. And of course the book for sale, every pre-order today. You can actually buy it in stores tomorrow, The Great American Retro Road Trip.
Well, I've been talking with journalist and author of The Great American Road Trip, a celebration of roadside Americana, Rolando Pujol, and American Sign Museum founder and curator, Todd Swarmstedt. You can find a link with more information about that book on our website, wvxu.org. Rolando and Todd, thank you so much for your time today. It's been lots of fun.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.